And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three of this fine Monday in September is upon us. Beautiful day outside, 81 degrees still. Yes, a little foggy. I shouldn't say foggy, a little smoky outside. The rays of sunshine coming down out of the clouds is absolutely beautiful, though. If you get a chance to look west, do so. It's absolutely gorgeous out. Yes, you can still see a little bit of the mountains. And if you haven't been to the mountains, by the way, speaking of which, head up. Went up to Winter Park over the weekend, and the aspen are turning, and it's absolutely gorgeous, breathtaking. It's what Colorado is all about. So if you get a chance to head up that direction, I would advise you to do so. It is absolutely gorgeous right now. And I'm guessing, I could be wrong, but there's probably one full weekend left of really good colors. After that, it's going to get dicey. I don't know how many you're going to have as we get into that October, you know, first-ish or so weekend. I'm not sure how things are going to go at that point. Right now, they're absolutely gorgeous. They're all yellow and some red tint right now. By the weekend, it's going to look absolutely gorgeous. So if you get a chance to get up to the mountains, I would encourage you to do so. Kurt Rogers, though, joining us now for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt, what's going on?
Not a whole lot, John. How was your weekend? How was that car show?
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely fabulous. Not only was it great to be out and be around a bunch of cars and all that, the best thing, Kurt, was it was just nice to be out and about and see everybody else there enjoying themselves. It was sort of life back at normal again.
Well, I got that impression when we talked on Saturday about you had made a comment. It was like one of the first times you've done a recording or done a show outside the office, and it was kind of nice.
It's really nice. We did one up in Sterling all the way, you know, kind of back midsummer-ish, which we waited on that one until we felt like it was safe to do so. But even it, we didn't highly publicize, and there wasn't a ton of people there. This one, you know, it got publicized, and I'm just going to say because of the show, I think we had lots and lots of people that showed up, which was great. GIA Insurance are the ones that invited us out, and it was just a fabulous day. And, Kurt, you couldn't have picked a better day weather-wise.
Oh, no, it was gorgeous.
It was absolutely gorgeous. So, no, it was great. I know you like that sort of thing as well, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was a great day.
Well, good.
All right, so, hey, talk to us about the mortgage world. I know the stock market is it? I never looked before I came on air. Is it up or down today?
The stock market was down the last time I saw, about 509. But at this point, with where rates are in the bond market, it's not going to affect it anymore.
So it's not changing that end of things at all?
No. No.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about this on Thursday, that Fannie Mae hit of 0.5% is going to take effect in October 1st. So most people are starting to understand that. So they're getting out now to make sure that they don't have to pay that extra cost, because all we have to do is lock the rate by that date.
Gotcha.
You can close later. So seeing a lot of that.
And I know because of what you and I have talked about in the past, that if you're doing a new mortgage on a new home, that's going fairly quickly. What are refis like as far as the turnaround time on a refi?
In most cases, 45 days.
Okay, so 45 days on a refi.
Yep. But what the lenders have done, because of how busy they are and it's taken that long, instead of doing 30 days at that rate, they're doing 45 days at that rate.
So they're locking you in a little longer to help out?
Yeah. Yep, to try to help out.
Okay. I know the answer to this already, but what on average do people need to be looking at if they want to lower their rate? In other words, at what percentage of you know, 4 to 3.5, 3.5 to 3? In other words, is it a half or a full point people need to be looking at when it comes time to refi, or do they just call you no matter what?
Well, if you're doing a $100,000 loan, even if you get a point and a half, it's not going to save you enough money.
Okay.
But if you're doing a $350,000 loan, a half a point works.
Gotcha.
When you start to look at it, if you're at a half a point, anywhere from like 3.75 or above, or even 3.5 and above, you should reconsider, because the rates are under 3, you're going to save yourself some money, especially if your loan size is, you know, 3.5, 400 and above.
Gotcha.
So, yes.
Okay. How do I get a hold of you, Kurt?
720-895-0500, or they can go to our website at aimortgage.net.
And tomorrow on Haystack, what are you doing?
We're going to be going over why right now is really a good time to buy investment properties, and everybody's trying to scarf them up.
Okay.
It's really a good time. We're going to kind of go over those numbers and how they work.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Kurt Rogers again, our Monday Mortgage Minute. Thank you as always, sir.
You bet.
All right. And again, Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500, which Mighty Hand is coming up next. And as a side note, if you want to do anything with Mighty Hand on getting windows, siding, roof, things along those lines, Kurt can help you do that with a refi. We've talked about that in the past. But if you need anything done to your home, Mighty Hand is a place to go. It's MightyHandConstruction.com or KLZRadio.com or call 970-844-9191.
As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand has the experience to assess all of your exterior damage. Your insurance company will rarely offer you the full amount on your claim the first time, partially because your adjuster may not realize the extent of the damage. Micah and his team have dealt with plenty of insurance claims that covered the roof, but failed to factor in the damage to windows, deck, siding, paint, and trim. Since the Mighty Hand team professionally installs and sells windows, they've seen how poorly fitted windows can cause damage to siding as water works its way down. Although they won't try to fix damage that isn't there, they will take care of your entire exterior so you don't get stuck with another project and another bill. Contact Micah and his team today for an estimate on your full exterior redo in Northern Colorado. Ask about their retrofit windows for increased energy efficiency. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jonathan Butcher should be joining us here very quickly, so hang tight. We'll get him from Heritage on here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, I didn't get a chance to talk about this earlier, but I had this in my notes. Yelp data is showing, and Yelp, if you don't know who Yelp is, most of you by now know who Yelp is. Yelp is basically a review of different businesses, and I'll say it like it is. I think Yelp is a bunch of extortionists, but that's another topic for another day. But their data shows that 60% of business closures due to the virus are now permanent. And they released some information this last week that basically says that as of August 31, and we're now into September, of course, but as of August 31, 163,000 businesses have indicated on Yelp that they have closed. That's a 23% increase since mid-July. Along those lines, I will predict that, unfortunately, we're not done yet. Unless we have blue state governors like ours here in Colorado that allow things to open up, even in Colorado, we're going to have a lot more closures, i.e. restaurants, that close down. Because right now, yes, it's 81 degrees. Our lows at night right now are, you know, it's still fairly comfortable, light jacket. You can sit outside, not a big deal. But we're 2 to 3 weeks away from that changing. And my prediction is when the evenings get much cooler and it's uncomfortable to sit outside, these restaurants are going to need more inside capacity or they're not going to be able to make it. It's a simple numbers game, folks. If they don't have people inside eating, they're not going to be able to make it. It's as simple as that. So we'll see how that goes as time goes by. Our next guest, though, joining us now, Jonathan Butcher from Heritage. Jonathan, welcome. How are you, sir?
Great to be with you. I'm well, thank you.
I should say welcome back. We've had you before. I appreciate you joining us. Talk to us about schools and what they're teaching our kids.
Well, what's going on right now is anyone who's followed the news in Washington, D.C. over the last week, the president made an announcement about a new commission that he wants to deal with patriotic education. And this comes on the heels of some pretty concerning work, I would say, out of the New York Times with something called the 1619 Project. that some people may be familiar with, as well as the Black Lives Matter movement has created curricular materials that they are recommending as well to schools.
Which, either one, we don't need. So I just to refresh everybody's memory. President Trump basically came out and said, listen, time out. This isn't going to work. We need to make sure we're teaching the opposite of that in our public school system. Am I right in saying it that way?
Well, there hasn't been too much description about what the commission is actually going to do. I mean, the president was celebrating or recognizing Constitution Day.
Right.
And so they had an event there, and it wasn't at the White House, it was at the archives, I believe. And, you know, I think for the president to use his bully pulpit to say, we need to make sure that we are teaching the facts, we need to make sure that we are teaching things that give people hope about America's future and not despair about the past is noble, right? I mean, I think that's important. Now, in the same breath, though, that I say that, you know, we are not too far away from the Obama administration's support of the Common Core, which, of course, got people equally, you know, riled up,
right.
I would say, about Washington's involvement in local school activities. So it's going to be important that this commission stay within the bounds of where Washington needs to be.
Which, in my opinion, Jonathan, is not in the public education system whatsoever. I realize they are because of federal funds, but the reality is, the way I see, well, I've got a long view. We could talk for probably an hour plus on my view on our public education system, but let's just start off by saying I feel like those should be handled on a local case-by-case situation, and local school boards should be doing that. And if you don't like your school board and what they're doing, then change them.
Well, and Secretary DeVos said something very similar to that, right? I mean, I think she made a statement recognizing that it's not Washington's role to be telling schools what curriculum to use. And so, you know, I think we're at a critical moment, right? I mean, everyone's aware of what's happened over the past couple of months,
right?
And what the riots have been, you know, centered around, and what's given rise to those. I think discontent. And so I think we're in a place now where it's important from the White House to have a message that says we need to teach our children the facts. We need to teach our children, we need to give them something that will inspire them, right? We need to teach them about some of the sacrifices that were made to make possible the freedom movements that emancipated slaves and,
right.
you know, provided rights to people from all walks of life. You know, That message is important.
Well, what we need to do, Jonathan, let's make sure we're clear on this. What we need to do is teach kids the historical facts, take the emotion out of it, which I know teachers all have bias and emotion, but the reality is that needs to go away. We teach the facts, and what the kids end up determining based upon those facts is what the kids determine. We don't need a teacher trying to influence their thought process on those facts. We just need to give them the facts.
Well, and that's the difficulty with what's come out of the 1619 Project and the Black Lives Matter movement and Howard Zinn's book, right? All of that material is highly interpretive. And not only highly interpretive, but they also got many of the facts wrong. And so,
right.
you know, we're in a situation now where they're asking students to make decisions or make judgments on how to make sense of what's happened in history with ideas that really don't fit together because they're not, you know, they're either incorrect or they're not properly described. So,
let's add to that one other layer where they've got kids now wanting to apologize for things that maybe have happened in their, you know, not their past, but in the past of a nation. And the reality, Jonathan, is the past, we move forward. You can't change history, but if we don't know history, it's doomed to be repeated.
Well, certainly. And I think that's what some of, I think, the best criticism of these projects has been, that America can't be defined by its failures. We have to recognize what the stain of slavery and Jim Crow laws and all of that brought to society and brought to individuals. But now we have to look back at those and say, okay, those were mistakes that we made. Now let's figure out how to give opportunity to those people who are disadvantaged. How do we give opportunity to those people who don't have it now, right? How do we create a situation where people can succeed? And that I think that's the essence, right? That's the interpretive understanding that we need to move forward with. But to do that, we've got to have a handle on what the facts are.
Well, and again, and I think what you just said, by the way, I fully agree with. And I don't know why the way my brain works, I don't know why I thought of this. When you said you can't be defined, even as a country by our failures. Actually, neither as individuals should we be defined by those failures. Thomas Edison's a great example of that. He had many, many, many failures outside of actually inventing what he did, yet he's not defined by those failures. He's defined by what he invented that's helped society ever since.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, in order for students to understand those things, I think that's why they have to know the proper sequence of what happened, why they happened, what different individuals' motivations for doing certain things. From, you know, the purpose of the American Revolution, as described by Gordon Wood, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian out of Brown University, you know, he describes the revolution as the very process that made possible the movement towards freedom that came later, right? That was the purpose. Now, what's being described in the 1619 Project is originally they said that one of the driving motivations for the colonists to fight the revolution was to protect slavery. And yet there is not substantial evidence for that, right? Mm-hmm. There's not evidence to support that claim. There's a gentleman out of Princeton who wrote a book called No Property in Man, and he's also written criticizing the 1619 Project. And he says, over the years, right, from the Revolution up until the Civil War, there was a concerted effort to keep the idea of slavery and property in man out of the Constitution. There was a battle over those ideas. Yeah. That's the kind of thing that we need to describe to people, right? Was it a perfect process? No. But this was a nation formed on an idea who purposefully made the choice to end slavery. That's significant, right? That's serious historical significance that people would choose to do that.
Which, by the way, then spread around to the rest of the world. It actually started here, correct?
Well, Britain did it before we did. France, you know, went back and forth. France actually got rid of slavery and then brought it back and then had to get rid of it again. But the issue with both of those nations is that they had monarchies. They had, you know, these were established you know, nations that had various, you know, monarchical regimes for generations.
And they didn't fight a civil war over it, let's just say it that way.
Well, absolutely. The United States was born out of the idea that man can govern ourselves, right? That was highly unique. And then for the people that formed that nation to understand that they can emancipate slaves. And slavery, of course, sadly, is an institution that's been around for, you know, millennia, right? For them to say, hey, look, we need to get rid of this. It didn't happen, you know, didn't happen fast enough, of course, but it happened. It took place and at great sacrifice for the lives lost in the Civil War. And, you know, I think this is the message, I think, that we need to tell students, right? That we need to let them know how difficult it was, what a stain slavery had been, but also that it was something that had been handed to the U.S. from Britain, right, that we had to deal with.
Well, and I think one other thing to add to what you just said, which, again, isn't typically taught in the public school system, is as much as, you know, the public school wants to teach separation from church and state. Had it not been for the church, who knows if slavery would have been abolished or not, because the church was very instrumental in getting that done.
Well, and it certainly was in Britain. I mean, the Christian leader William Wilberforce was a big part of that. You know, so I think the interpretations that are kind of obscure those truths that were coming out of the 1619 Project. Like they have a section where they say that Lincoln was very interested in the idea of recolonizing black slaves who had been in the U.S. before he was going to do emancipation. That's not the way it happened. I mean, that's not what was going on. I mean, Lincoln was very interested when the time came, right, in emancipation, even though he did have this idea of colonization on his mind too. But it's not as though Lincoln was, you know, one or the other. And it's those kinds of lessons that are a bit nuanced, that are, you know, they take some understanding of who the different parties were who were involved, that if you just lay that at the feet of students without describing, you know, how they got there, mm-hmm. right? You know, the students are going to kind of miss a big overarching narrative where Lincoln, you know, really was the one who put his, you know, his reputation, his very life, of course, in the end, on the line to accomplish that.
Well said. Jonathan Butcher, again, Heritage. You can find all of your works at, what, heritage.org? Is that right, Jonathan?
Heritage.org, that's right.
All right. Really appreciate you joining us, as always. And have a great week, Jonathan. We do appreciate it very much. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
You bet. Take care. Jonathan Butcher, again, heritage.org. In the meantime, Pure for Chevrolet is coming up next. They want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. Purchase, repair of GM vehicles, they can do that as well. And don't forget, they've got new and used vehicles both on the lot. A lot of used vehicles, by the way. 303-659-8311 or find them at purefoychevrolet.com.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses. So we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, would love to help you out with all of your financial advice. I don't say planning because he's not a financial planner, but he'll advise you on what you need to do, how to handle things, and whether or not you have enough money to make it into retirement and then stay there, and what is your purpose once you get there. KLZradio.com or 303-744-1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate it very much. Our next guest will be Michael Beatrice. Charlie's getting him rounded up as we speak. And back to just real quick to recap, Jonathan Butcher from Heritage. Folks, pay attention to what your kids are learning and being taught. And I mean that sincerely. I think there's anything that COVID has taught a lot of parents today on both sides of the aisle is what exactly are they being taught in school. I think for years and years and years, people sent their kids off to school. They may have looked over some homework or made sure papers were done, but they weren't as involved as they are today. And now that a lot of folks have gotten super involved, which, again, a lot of those folks in the public school system don't want them involved, it has shown what kids are actually being taught. So just something to keep in mind. Michael, though, is joining us now. Michael Beatrice is joining us. How are you, Michael? Welcome back to Rush to Reason.
I'm well. Thank you so much for bringing me back.
I appreciate you joining us. I really do. So let's talk about COVID. I just got something sent to me a moment ago, a tweet, that two of the three most populous counties surrounding Nashville have now lifted their mask mandates. None of those three closed bars for months or limited restaurants to 25% capacity, yet all four counties followed exactly the same epidemic curve.
Good. That's right.
I mean, bottom line is, and this is just my opinion, Michael, I'm not a doctor, I don't have any expertise in this area, but when you look at the data and you look at some of what's gone on, it looks like this thing basically ramps way up. A lot of people get infected. Some of the elderly and those that are most compromised, yeah, there's some deaths that happen. But then it starts to kind of go on the downhill slide. And at this point, really, as a nation, we're flatlined.
Yeah, so a couple comments on that. First, John, the story that broke last week in Nashville,
right,
about the sort of cover-up of some of the data,
yep. Yep.
That there was really a very minimal transmission from bars, and the fact that they knew that and the emails came out and they were sort of trying to discourage it is so crazy, because, and it's so depressing, because last time you and I spoke, we discussed how the media is sort of mm-hmm. perpetuating some fear. Mm-hmm. And what you need is you need some reality, some good news
That's
to
right.
ground everybody. This was some of that good news, and then they censored it. It's crazy.
Yep.
But what you'll find with what you just, the comment you just made on the masks is exactly right. If you look at places like Hawaii, Los Angeles, even countries like France and Spain, they're getting their second hit, not of deaths or hospitalizations, only cases. But no matter, and these are all places that had very strict and disciplined mask mandates. And what you see is exactly what you said. When this thing comes in, there's a wave, the waves look almost identical everywhere, and you get these cases that ramp up,
mm-hmm.
hospitals lag, deaths follow, and then it usually disappears. And so you're seeing in places like particularly New York City, that area, Connecticut, Michigan, Illinois, you're seeing these places that got hammered in the spring. They've got no activity right now.
Right.
And the reason is we're it seems like it's a bad thing to say in some circles, but we're hitting an immunity phase in a number of pockets, both around the world and in America. And yet we still have a bunch of things closed down, Michael.
I mean, I know that, you know, we're, every state is different, and I get that. In Colorado, we're a blue state with a blue governor. He just extended our mask mandate, and we still have lockdowns with bars and sporting events and so on for another 30 days. And the reality, Michael, is, in my opinion, just open things up and get things back to normal, because that's what a lot of people are doing anyways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I wrote Lockdowns on Trial, I wrote all of it in April, and then I kind of tuned it up a little bit in May and June before it went to print. And even then, my comments throughout the book in April were, we should really have done, if we did nothing except lockdown nursing homes. That's one thing that people are forgetting.
That's right.
Well over half of our fatalities in America,
that's right,
are in nursing homes, because they're undercounted. There's a lot of liability issues, so there's very little motivation to pump those numbers up. It feels like Minnesota has been very accurate on that. Their numbers were in the high 70s to 80s. But you've got well over half our fatalities were in nursing homes. And so we've done these catastrophic lockdowns, and the general populace just simply isn't at risk.
No.
Like, you see this thing, I mean, it sounds like you really follow this, but there's been about 30,000 or so cases, and I'm putting in air quotes, you know, cases exploding at colleges and universities.
Right, I've read
and
that.
My son goes to a Big 12 school. I know about a dozen kids that have tested positive for COVID-19 up at OU where my son goes. What they don't report, there's not a single documented hospitalization.
Yep.
Out of those 30,000
yep. yep.
cases.
We have the same thing here at CU. We've got kind of a mini outbreak, if you would, at CU Boulder, Michael, going on right now. And, you know, they're blaming it on some of the fraternities and so on. And I guess I look at that and I say, so what? Big deal. Great. Let them have at it. And let's just keep going on with life. Who cares?
Yeah, Scott Atlas, you know, thank goodness he's on the COVID team in the White House. He's made some great comments in some interviews in the last couple weeks. And his comment is, we really want younger and healthy people to get it and get through it,
yes,
because that stops the transmissions.
That's right.
The ultimate goal on this is to basically have a bunch of dead-end transmissions. And so if you get enough people that get it, get through it, and are immune to it, they won't B transmitters, and then that's how it really dies off. And you're seeing that in Sweden, you're seeing that in New York, you're seeing that in really enough places where it's insane that we're still in the situation we're in.
Well, and again, Michael, I believe that we're in that situation for political gain more than anything. It's really not a, because if you look at the data, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, you know, believe the science. And I keep saying on my show, believe the data, because no offense, the data is not showing anything scientifically is true at this point. In fact, most of the scientists have been wrong.
Right. Well, not only that, all the actual science points to the things that we've been talking about for the last few minutes. Even prior to the COVID-19 outbreak in the spring, there was all the science. If you go to the Lancet and MedRx4 and you know, highly accredited medical journals and look at all their reports, they really renounced the use of anything other than an N95 mask. The reason that masks don't work is because in a surgical mask all the way down to gaiters or whatever people are wearing, mm-hmm. the pores in those are 1,000 times bigger than a viral particle. That's why the masks don't do anything. It just has to run its course, as bad as that is to say. And fortunately,
well, real quick, Michael, is it bad to say? I mean, the reality is this is a virus, much like H1N1 is. It's not. By the way, it's not going anywhere. We're going to have this thing now from this point forward, vaccine or not. As a society and as a population around the world, we just have to get used to dealing with it on a regular basis. It's not going anywhere. And you know, to your point, I mean, it just sort of is what it is. Let's learn to deal with it.
Yeah, so you're exactly right. And the only thing, you know, for my son going away to college, I tell him to live his life as much as he wants to. Don't do anything different.
Right.
However, I've got an 89-year-old parents in Detroit.
Yep.
And, you know, my brother and I keep them under kind of lock and key.
Exactly.
We don't want them doing anything right now.
Well, and you know what, Michael, you're doing, and I've said this all along through this, all the way back from the spring, you're doing exactly the way it's supposed to work. And I'm not trying to be rude or crude, and you know that. And by the way, everybody listening, this is the author of COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. Find it at Amazon, you know, great bookstores and so on. But, Michael, the reality is the United States of America. It is not my responsibility to make sure you and or your parents or grandparents are safe. It's up to you and your family to make sure that gets handled. But that's not up to me to do.
That's right. That's right. And actually, expecting anybody else to do that is sort of nonsensical, right? And there's a lot of precautions you can do. I've got an uncle that really hasn't left his house. He's 88 in Detroit, in the metro area. But he's very, very cautious. And you know what? He should be.
Exactly.
And so that's the kind of...
But you know what? What that comes down to is that's a personal decision on his part. On the same token, I know a lot of 88-year-olds that are out running around that have no qualms about it, don't seem to be bothered by it, and haven't had any issues. And it's a personal choice, and it should be. We should not be, in my opinion, we should not be mandated by the government on what we should or shouldn't be doing, whether we can gather or not, whether we have to wear masks or not.
No, I mean, I wrote this again in April. I feel like the decisions that were made in March were reasonable decisions and certainly forgivable, even the extreme lockdowns in the moment. By the time May 1st rolled around, it was very clear hospitals weren't going to get overrun,
yep.
And that is the only reason we locked down.
That's right.
And so the fact that we didn't open up with some precautions, and precautions really mean lockdown, nursing homes and facilities like that, you know, maybe stop concerts, you know, the Rolling Stones canceled their tour, maybe events like that should you know, you could have put them on hold for a while, but everything else.
But now at this point, though, Michael, now that we've gotten to this point, we're now almost the end of September, 1st of October. At this point, what's wrong with having large gatherings? Even if the Rolling Stones wants to have an event and you make sure everybody understands that, hey, this is enter at your own risk, and we all know what that means. They can put that on the tickets, and there's no issues of anybody getting sued and so on. There's the ability for them to work through that. My feeling is they won't do that, though, because they're so afraid of the government officials. And government won't let them do it.
But again, it's really, to me, it's really not even the government. It's really the mob media, and it's the polling. So as long as the media is pouncing on anybody that's sort of contrarian or executing things like what you and I are talking about, the media would pounce all over them. And so there's, even though you and I are rational about the data, there really is a majority of Americans that are still afraid of this. And the reason is the good news that you understand, it's not getting out there.
No, you're right.
So people don't understand it. That's why I'm so forgiving about people I interact with every day. You can imagine, right? This has been my life for 6 months.
Right.
And there's people that are just, you know, they're like deathly afraid, and they want to wear masks, and they think we should be locked down until, you know, until
here. Michael, I know exactly what you're saying. I've had listeners, even conservative, and, you know, it's a conservative talk show, and I've had conservative listeners even email me and say, John, you know, I know you don't like masks, and you don't think we should be wearing them, but here's the data that shows we should, and blah, blah, blah. And I just have to go back to these people and love them and say, listen, I get where you're coming from and all of that, but the reality is they don't work, so why are we wearing them? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, there really is no data. I mean, really, really, I would do anything to be able to debate Director Redfield, who said last week that it was sort of, you know, not quite the Holy Grail, but, you know, it was right there waving his mask around. I would do anything to debate him, because this is not a medical discussion at this point. It's a data discussion, and there's no data that correlates to masks and suppressed cases. It just doesn't exist. It happens, I mentioned all the places around the world and in America, but you just can't find correlating data.
No.
By the way, that's in a way good news, right?
Yeah.
We're at like a five-month low in deaths, real-time deaths.
Right.
Real-time deaths are below an epidemic level right now. We're like at a 300-a-day level. You know, there's a lot of laundering that goes on. Most of our deaths right now, over half of them are backdated.
That's
up
right.
To 5 months.
That's right.
I don't know if people knew that. So there's so much good news out there. I get so excited, and it's so suppressed, and we need people like you to really voice that.
Well, we're going to keep pumping it out there. I appreciate you joining us as well, and all the research that you've done. Again, folks, COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. That's the book. Michael Betrus. It's BETRUS. You can actually find it that way. And I guess, Michael, you know, in closing, and I appreciate you taking time to join us, in closing, do you really feel like a lot of this goes away after the election, or you think they're going to keep running it even after that?
You know, I'm not sure if you followed this, but the Los Angeles public health director was caught on tape a couple weeks ago saying that she expected schools to reopen in California after the election.
I didn't see that. No, I did not. Amazing.
Oh, check that out. And
I will.
I was watching that, and I thought, oh, I didn't realize that once the virus votes, it's going to go away. Did you know that?
Yeah, it's a very smart virus, Michael. It's really, really smart. You know, you have to understand that. I mean, it understands that if you close the bar, we went from now in Colorado from 10 to 11. So it's a smart virus. It knows that if the bar closes at now 11, we've bumped it up a little bit. But if we close it at 11, we're all good to go. We're all safe because the virus is very smart.
Yeah, there's really some ridiculous rules out there. Listen, I hope you have me back. I really enjoy the opportunity to discuss this.
I'll do it. Michael, I love it. I really appreciate you joining us. Have a great week, sir.
You too. Thank you
so
much.
All right, take care. And we do. I appreciate Michael very much. Again, the book is COVID-19 Lockdowns on Trial. You can tell where he's coming from. And by the way, has a lot more data even than I have on this. And I will check out the L.A. County slip of the tongue that happened there. Trust me. Extreme Auto Repair, though, is next. Don't forget, you can get your $100 off a timing belt replacement. And how do you know if your car needs a timing belt, or if it even has one, and if it needs a replaced? Just call them and ask them. All you have to do is give them your vehicle identification number, take it off the registration or the door sticker, either one, and they can handle the rest. It's klzradio.com, or go to extremeautorepair.com, 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back, because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme, promises kept.
All right, Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck, no matter what's going on in your world, if you've had an accident, you're not getting represented correctly, things aren't going well, maybe you're not getting your bills paid out of that accident, including even the car fixed correctly, talk to Kevin today. 303-806-8886. It's fleshlawfirm.com, F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. Call him today, tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Here's why you need KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Just a few minutes left of today's program if you want to join in here before we end the program. And we've got our replay hour at 6 o'clock. Give us a call, 303-477-5600. And some of the numbers we were just going over with Michael Beatrice a moment ago. Folks, COVID's over. You're not going to hear that from the regular news media. You're not going to hear that from Channel 9. These knuckleheads, yeah, I'm calling them that. These knuckleheads are still broadcasting from their homes. They have hyped this thing and continued to hype it for every single thing it's worth. I don't know why they even have a studio in most downtown areas anymore, these news stations. It's ridiculous. Last time I watched a news program a week or so ago, they're still broadcasting from their living room or some basement office. And I don't know why. We're in radio. We're not even on TV. We're in radio. We come in here every day, do what we need to do. Charlie and I haven't even gotten close to being sick or having the sniffles since we started all this back in February. Have you been sick at all, Charlie? I haven't. I haven't had the sniffles. Had a little bit of allergies maybe in the spring is about it, and even that was pretty minor. So, guys, trust me, this is a lot of propaganda coming out of those news stations. They are the ones that are pushing this. They, along with the Kevin Polises of the world, continue to push this nonsense down our throats to the point where we still have businesses shut down. And by the way, you're not going to be able to keep those shut down until November, because if you do, you're going to lose a lot more than what we've already lost when it comes to especially the restaurant world. We just now barely have movie theaters open, and you go to the movies in pods now, basically. Folks, this is criminal. It's criminal that we still have businesses shut down in this state and others across the country. There's no reason for it. The data does not support it at all. It's criminal that the stock show has been canceled in January here in Colorado. That's 3+ months away, and it's already canceled. There's no reason, no rhyme or reason for this stuff to be canceled like it is. It's nothing more than the propaganda from the left jumping on something and riding it for all it's worth until there's nothing left of it, and that's what they've done with COVID. COVID is done. I'm going to say it again. COVID's done. I mean, done to the point of where it's going to be in moving forward. The reality is, like I said earlier, it's not going anywhere. It's going to be with us now in this form forever. So learn to deal with it. The reality, though, is this hype over it and the fear of walking out of your house and dying from COVID, first of all, it never existed clear back in the spring, and it doesn't exist now. But yet we've got enough knucklehead people running around that have believed everything the left-wing propaganda has put out, where they're wearing masks walking down the sidewalk outside. That's how stupid this has gotten. Yes, stupid. I'm using that word. It's literally, it's moronic to wear a mask outside. And yes, our governor is a moron. I will say it. Yes, he is. He has fed so much garbage down the throats of those people willing to listen. They believe him. And they'll do anything he says. I can't believe that there's been this many suckers, and yes, that's what they are, this many suckers out there willing to be sucked in to propaganda from the left, believing that if they leave their home, go to King Soopers or Costco or church, that they're going to somehow die. Unbelievable. I never thought I'd see the day in the United States of America where there were that many sheeple willing to jump on something and listen to every Karen known to mankind and do exactly what they say. I never thought I'd see that day. I will say that. I never thought I'd see it. I really didn't. But I have. It's disheartening. It's unbelievable. And I still can't believe people have bought into this nonsense and the lies that are coming out of the left. The lies that have come out of the likes of Fauci and the guy that's in charge of us here in Colorado. Not Kevin Polis, but his cohort from the School of Health, who, by the way, is worse than Fauci. His numbers have even been farther off than Fauci's have been. Literally, folks, I know you can't sue over this, but that's what should be happening. Every business owner that's been affected by this in the state of Colorado should be suing the state of Colorado over this. They should be banding together and suing the governor's office. That's what I think should be happening. It won't, but it should be. It's the governor's responsibility to help the citizens of the great state of Colorado move forward in their lives, not go backwards. But he has done just the opposite. He has literally, single-handedly ruined people's lives. And I just hope, and pray that come November, those people that have been affected by this will remember that and vote the other way. Because it is the likes of him and his Democrat cohorts that they are where they are. So if you're jobless today because of COVID, thank Kevin Polis. It's not Republican leadership that made that happen. It's your Democrat friend at the governor's mansion that, well, he doesn't live there, but you get the drift. It's the governor in Colorado that did that. Don't go looking to the Patrick Nevilles of the world. They didn't do this. The conservatives didn't do this. The liberal folks that you most likely voted for did this to you and took your job away. We would have much rather had you working and providing a service and serving people and doing the things that you've done all along. That's what the conservatives wanted. It's the liberals that have shut you down. Remember that when you vote your ballot here in the next few weeks, which a lot of you will start doing. Folks, I mean this sincerely. It's not the conservatives that made you lose your job. Don't blame it on Donald Trump. This was not his fault. Do not blame this on the conservatives in Colorado. It's not their fault. If you've lost your job because of COVID or you've lost your business because of COVID, you need to think about that when you fill out your ballot in the next few days, few weeks. And I mean that because it's the Kevin Polises of the world that cause you to lose your job or your business. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And they want to help you build a kitchen that not only, enchanted is a great word, but let's say functional, a great functional, good-looking kitchen that does what you need and increases the value of your home. That's what Enchanted Kitchens will do. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-376-7588.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's afternoon rush, KLZ 560. All right, I want to close with something where I always try to give you guys that are either parents or grandparents some advice. And I learned here recently that there's a TikTok challenge. Now, I don't have TikTok anymore. Had it for a little bit, got rid of it because of all of the issues surrounding the app, which even the government knows that there's issues around that app. Some of those have yet to be figured out. But there's a TikTok shopping challenge, which to my understanding, I don't know all the details of this, but it has something to do with a young man and a young lady, girlfriend, boyfriend, where they go in shopping somewhere, and the girl is not allowed to say a word. The boy has to do all of the shopping, all of the asking of questions, everything involved, and typically it involves clothing. And the boy has to do everything. The girl's not allowed to say a word. Now, some of you may think, well, that's great. It's teaching the boy how to shop. Well, unless it looks like it's more of a servant master type of a thing, which, by the way, TikTok was invented or came out of China, and that's the way the Chinese women are treated in China. And to me, it's just a way of the Chinese doing what they do there here. I don't know that for sure. I'm going to do more research on it. Bottom line, folks, get your kids off TikTok until they get all that stuff figured out. And if they're doing challenges, you better darn sure well know what that challenge actually is and have some input on it before they just go out and do it. I get it. Their kids are going to do their own thing. But the reality is you're a parent and you need to be monitoring what your kids are doing. I'll leave you with that. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, I'll be back tomorrow with Andy. We'll talk more Ruth. I just say RBG. We'll call it that. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. So have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.